A long-standing idea to raise the height of Shasta Dam gained new life this year with an infusion of federal money. The idea is to add to the top of Shasta Dam, adding 18 feet to its height. That would create a much bigger Shasta Lake behind the dam, store a lot more water. But there's a long road ahead. There are not only issues with the work at the dam, there are other facilities that would have to be moved or changed to account for a higher water level in the lake. The Center for Biological Diversity is not waiting. The organization filed suit 2 weeks ago, not directly about the dam, but about a creature that could be affected by a bigger dam. Enter the Shasta salamander. And for more information about that, we turn to Jenny Loda, a biologist and a staff attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity. Jenny, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And do I have that right? You're a biologist and an attorney?
Yeah. I was a wildlife biologist and then decided to move over to law school to use those tools to be able to protect the species I was concerned about.
Wow, that is quite a combination, then. Congratulations on the multiple degrees. Let's talk about the Shasta salamander, then. A couple of different things going on with it, but the major thing you're trying to get changed here is that you've proposed it for listing, or it has been proposed for listing as an endangered or threatened species a while ago?
So back in 2012, we petitioned the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to protect the Shasta salamander under the Endangered Species Act. And so it hasn't yet been proposed for listing, and that's actually what we're trying to push the Fish and Wildlife Service to do, is to get to that, you know, decision-making point. The law actually requires them to make that decision within a year after the petition, so they're now, you know, more than 6 years overdue. And given the new imminence of the threat of the Shasta Dam being raised, we decided to prioritize this because of our concern for the species.
It seems like most of the time when we talk to the Center for Biological Diversity and other groups concerned about animals in the wild, that we hear this same sort of thing, that critters get proposed for listing under the Endangered Species Act and have to goose the Fish and Wildlife Service into action. Is there just a big backlog of species proposed for listing?
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, there is a pretty huge backlog of species that have been petitioned for listing. And, you know, this varies in administrations and how much they seem to get through, but there is some level where there just simply isn't enough funding at the Fish and Wildlife Service, and it really does need quite an influx of funding to deal with protecting these species. But there have been at least 42 species who've actually gone extinct while waiting for protection under the Endangered Species Act, where they've been, you know, petitioned for listing and that they just haven't gotten to them in time. So that's one of our concerns here, is if this could have a pretty major impact with the Shasta Dam raising on this particular species in addition to many others. So we decided to push forward on it.
So tell us a bit about the Shasta salamander, where it lives and how many of them there are and different populations of them, all that.
Right. So these salamanders are endemic to the Shasta County area, which means that's the only place they're found anywhere, and so they are pretty limited to areas right around the current Shasta Reservoir, and so that's, you know, our concern is that they've actually lost quite a bit of their habitat from the original construction of Shasta Dam and had that inundated with water, and so that's expected to increase. So these are pretty small salamanders. They're about 4 inches long. They're dark reddish brown, and they have pretty restricted range, and back when we petitioned for them in 2012, they were thought to be a single species, and actually in recent years and just published this year, it's turned out that scientists agree that they are actually three separate species found just in that little area, and so they're, you know, really even more imperiled than once thought, because it means there are even smaller numbers and smaller range sizes, so any, you know, increase in flooding or other impacts could really have a major impact on them.
What does that do to your listing efforts, though? I mean, does it get you caught up on a technicality in the sense that you proposed this single species and now there's three of them?
No, the Fish and Wildlife Service really should look at our petition and look at this new science that, you know, we've submitted to them when it came out, and consider that and look to be listing all three, because if it was imperiled as one species, now it should be, you know, each individual species should be more imperiled, just because, you know, smaller and smaller ranges, more likely to have impacts. And so that's our hope, is that they would take that and work on all three.
We are talking to Jenny Loda, who is a reptile and amphibian staff attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity. She is also a biologist herself, in addition to being an attorney. And we're talking about a lawsuit filed to force the Federal Fish and Wildlife Service to deliver on a 2012 petition to protect the Shasta salamanders. There's increased concern about new activity with the proposed raising of the height of Shasta Dam. You can join the conversation on the exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So what is the activity that has picked up just this this past calendar year, in 2018, with Shasta Dam?
Yeah, so work had been ongoing on doing environmental reviews for the dam quite a while ago, but since about 2014, 2015, it's really stalled. And just this past spring, Congress allocated some funds to do some additional pre-construction work, some design work, and some testing at the dam to just start preparing for construction. And the Bureau of Reclamation has said that they plan to move forward to award a contract in 2019 and then to start construction in 2020. And that's our concern. And of course, that $20 million is just a drop in the bucket of what this will cost. It'll actually cost $1.3 billion. So that still is a hurdle of where that whether those funds are going to be dedicated. But it does seem like the Bureau of Reclamation is pushing forward pretty quickly. So that's what caused alarm for us.
I want to introduce a name to this discussion. David Bernhardt is cited by the Center for Biological Diversity as being a person who causes you additional concern as far as the raising of the height of Shasta Dam is concerned. How?
So it seems like there could be potential, conflicts of interest. You know, we don't have any specific evidence, partly because in our attempts to get FOIA records of his communications and schedules, we've just run into a lot of issues and not gotten many of those, but he is currently the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Interior, which controls both the Bureau of Reclamation, which is the main agency behind the dam raising, as well as the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which is the agency that would be responsible for protecting endangered species. And his connection here is that he, his former firm prior to being deputy secretary, the firm he worked for had the Westlands Water District as one of their large clients. And so Westlands Water District is one of the main local proponents behind this dam raising project.
So do you think without David Bernhardt's presence in the Department of Interior, this might still be sort of a slow-moving project?
It's unclear. It might be. I think there are other, people pushing behind it. Like I said, Congress did allocate funds, so that's separate from the administration. But it does give me cause for concern. And it does make me take the threat more seriously that this will happen.
So Jenny, without the allocation of the $20 million by Congress, which is engineering and studies for construction, would you have been as concerned as you are, and would this lawsuit have been filed?
We likely wouldn't have filed it at this point. I mean, if there weren't these other indications as well from Bureau of Reclamation that they were moving forward. We have a lot of species, like I said, that are waiting for protection under the Endangered Species Act, and so we really have been trying to prioritize which ones are most imperiled. Some of the other species we've sued over this year have actually been ones where Fish and Wildlife Service had promised a certain date and hadn't met that, and so we just simply wanted to get them to keep on task with their deadlines. But this one here, we just decided to prioritize because of this project.
So has there been a promise from the Fish and Wildlife Service specifically about the Shasta salamander, about when it will rule on the petition for protection?
So the Fish and Wildlife Service created a work plan towards the end of the Obama administration. And in that work plan, they said that they would make a decision on the Shasta salamander petition in 2022. So that's clearly a little bit too late here for the current timeline on the Shasta Dam. And that's, another thing that had us concerned. But I will say that, as I mentioned, we've been filing these suits where they've missed these deadlines. So there are other species where they said that they would make their decisions in 2017 or 2018, and they haven't done so. And we've had to push for that with lawsuits, and so even this 2022 timeline is, you know, it's hard to know whether that would be followed, and that would be 2 years after the Bureau of Reclamation says that they plan to start construction on the dam raising project. So clearly that would be too late for the salamanders.
All right, so certainly a mismatch in time between construction calendar and the work plan for coming up with something in the way of a response to the petition for the protection of the Shasta salamander. But let me see if I got the numbers right. You made the petition in 2012, so there, I mean, by law there should have been a plan out by 2013. 1 year later, instead, what they're talking about is delivering a plan or a ruling of some sort 10 years after the initial petition.
Exactly. Yeah, that's our concern, is that is quite a long timeline, and that's fairly common though these days with a lot of species, and so that's why, you know, we do try to push forward on certain species where we're particularly concerned.
Jenny Loda, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a biologist and a staff attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity. The CBD did file suit on November 29th against the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, seeking action on the 2012 petition for the protection of the Shasta salamander, which could be toast if Shasta Dam is raised by 18 feet, as the plan is currently on the books. You can join our conversation on the exchange, talk about the dam, talk about the salamander, talk about all the issues involved, politically, economically, you name it. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to get back to some numbers here, Jenny. You did mention that 42 species went extinct while waiting for action on the petitions. I just wonder, just from the Center for Biological Diversity, how many suits do you have in place right now or administrative actions to try to get the Fish and Wildlife Service to deliver on petitions for protection?
Sure, I have that number off the top of my head, but it's not a huge number right now because, like I said, we have been trying to prioritize certain species and as well as, push forward those species where they have been promised for protection. So I would say maybe we're pushing for about 10 or so or a dozen species, but some of those are suits where there's more than one, you know, a couple species in the same lawsuit where they're, say, in the same area. So it's not a huge number. We're definitely, you know, we have a lot more waiting in the wings, but we've been prioritizing certain ones, you know, to get them in the front of the line.
And is there a fairly standard procedure that comes out of the court as well? I mean, have you been through the process enough to know what the direction might be from the court and then what the time will be?
Well, in the past, there's generally, prior to the current administration, we've generally had success with the Fish and Wildlife Service, you know, working with us on a settlement agreement to come up with particular deadlines that we could all agree with, that they have to come up with both a proposed, either a, you know, decision to propose to list the species or to decide the petition is not warranted, and then assuming there is a proposal to a deadline for a final decision on protection. And we're not sure here what exactly is going to happen. Most of our previous lawsuits this year have actually been, as I said, on species where they've already been working on them and they've just been missing their deadline. So those have been a little bit different. So we're really not sure what we're going to see here. One thing we do have to do under the ESA is give a 60-day notice, a heads-up to the Fish and Wildlife Service that we're planning to sue them, basically to give them time to correct their actions. And their response to us was, you know, they're aware of this dam raising project moving forward, but they're still planning to wait until 2022. And so it does seem like there's, you know, potentially some resistance. I am still hopeful that there might be some possibility of settlement, but we'll see. If not, then we would move forward through the court and you know, the court should set a deadline for them to make this decision.
You mentioned, Jenny, staffing levels at the Fish and Wildlife Service being one of the impediments to swift action on any of these petitions for protection of sensitive species. And how much pressure, I wonder, does the CBD and other organizations put on members of Congress to go ahead and include more in the budget so that the Fish and Wildlife Service can hire more people? But I guess the other part of that is, even if it were allocated, would the current administration spend that kind of money?
Right. Yeah, that is something that the center has been involved in. We do have folks in Washington that work on a number of different issues, especially around the Endangered Species Act. And that is something we have pushed for in the past, is increased funding levels. But, you know, often even the president, even under the Obama administration, isn't necessarily asking for enough. And I'm not really sure what the problem is there, why that's happening. But that is an issue also with the Trump administration, as you said, whether they would actually allocate this money towards these listings, because as it is now, there is this prioritization of looking at delisting or downlisting petitions. So just as we can petition to protect a species under the Endangered Species Act, other folks might petition to remove the species from the list, or if it's endangered, to downlist it to threatened. So that does seem to be something that's being prioritized under the current administration, and so that can definitely make a difference.
Let me bring this back around to the salamander itself, the Shasta salamander, which evidently is actually three different species right now. Where do they live in relation to the dam? Are they far away, like in the upper waters of the rivers that feed Shasta Lake, or are they close to the dam, or where?
They're close to the lake, actually. So they're kind, you know, all around the edges of the lake, but varying depending on which species. And so our main concern is that with this increased height of the dam, it's expected that the high water mark of the lake or reservoir will go up by about 20 feet, and that in itself will just completely flood out habitat and obviously individuals that are already there when it floods. That will likely kill them because they're not used to that type of living in water like that. And so there are some of the populations really are right up against the edge of the current, you know, height of the lake. So if it goes up, clearly those populations would be wiped out because they have these fairly small ranges for these populations.
And the two additional species, we're calling them the Samwell Shasta salamander and the Wintu Shasta salamander. Is the original one just called Shasta salamander?
Yes. Yeah. So part of it is, yeah, part of the species was split off to still being called Shasta, and then, yeah, then the other two. And the Samwell Shasta salamander, one of the experts has told me is, you know, he's particularly concerned about them because they do have some populations that really are right up against the current edge of the lake. And so, you know, they have a fairly small range, so that could really wipe out quite a bit of them.
All right. Obviously more to come on this issue. We're talking about three species of Shasta salamander that live in the right next to Shasta Lake, which is behind Shasta Dam. Shasta Dam proposed for increasing in height by 18 feet, which would make a much bigger lake and probably a lot fewer salamanders, which is why the Center for Biological Diversity is taking the Fish and Wildlife Service to court to accelerate the process of what's going to happen with the species for listing. Jenny Loda is an attorney and a biologist at the Center for Biological Diversity. Jenny, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thanks for having me.